Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Pop of the morning, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture. As always, I'm your one true host, Jazzy J, joined as usual by my brother and the one true co-host, Buzzy Benjamin B. How you doing today, Ben?
Doing just truly splendid. Thanks for having me this morning.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate you. I mean, I got the email invite, you know, it's kind of like one of those things, right?
Yeah.
A little bit of like a fangirl moment, to be honest.
Right.
With you. It was like, wait, no, what, for real? Like, and then like the
I'm on the show?
Right, the imposter syndrome sets in, and you're like, I don't even know, I mean, it's like, is he sure? Like, I don't know. I mean, have you even seen any of my work? Like, I know, kind of an awkward question, not to put you on the spot.
I'm pretty familiar with it. Yeah. I've seen many of your published works. Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
okay. Well, anyway, thank you. Thank you so much. I mean, truly just feels like a huge opportunity. Hi, Mom. To come on the show. So I'm super excited about it. Should be a lot of fun. Hopefully I'll have something that your listeners will find to be interesting today.
Yeah, I hope so. So it may, you might not be familiar, if in case you're not as familiar with this show, you know, we occasionally, sometimes, when we remember, we will kick things off with a corny joke.
The corniest kinds of jokes. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. So you've got one?
I've got one for you.
Right,
are you ready?
Hit me with it.
All right. So it's more of like well, you'll just see it.
I just gotta say, it's so cool. It's like, I've heard so many other corny jokes, like listening to the episodes, like now I get to, like, I'm here for one. So, okay, lay it on me.
So a man walks into a bar and there's a bunch of meat hanging from the ceiling, and he asks the bartender, like, hey, what's the deal with all the meat up there? And the bartender says, well, we just have a promotion here at the bar. Like, if you can jump up and touch one of the meats up there, you get a free drink. But if not, you have to buy a drink for everybody here. And the guy looks up, looks back at the bartender, and says, what do you think? You wanna go for it? And he says, the stakes are too high.
That's so good. And what a good gimmick, though.
I know, right?
Like, oh my gosh,
how often do you have to replace the meat?
That's right. I mean, that seems very costly, but in the meantime, like, the opportunity, it feels like the type of thing that, like, people would like to go to this bar because it would have the thing attached to it. Like, but I actually really like that because it does feel like in a real world where this bar exists, I could imagine the community attached to it. Like, people coming to town, they would like see it, you know, like on like Google reviews, and people are like, you gotta go. Sometimes you get a free drink, and even if you don't, like, it's like everybody's gonna be so excited to have you there if you try and fail, because
they get a free drink.
Because then they get a free drink. So, like, they're like excited for your failure, but it also is sort of like, it comes with like such a positive exchange. But hilariously,
I feel like if you're the bar, you'd need to have like a $1 drink on the menu or something.
We will
serve everyone a drink, but like, don't worry, it's only going to cost you like 50 cents a person or something.
Right. Yeah. You like a 4-ounce PBR or something like that.
Yeah.
Just sort of like,
yeah, it's like a shot of beer. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, okay, all right.
Right.
I will say, and I have no idea to this day, because like, before I was getting ready for my study abroad in Australia back in 2011, I remember like one of our professors was explaining to us this concept called a shout at like Australian bars.
Okay.
And if we have any like Aussie viewers, I would love to know whether or not like this is something that you've actually experienced in real life. But I feel like this is like one of those things where it could have been the case where, because Australia is, I mean, it's its own like unique culture from the United States, but like, it's also similar in a lot of other ways as well. So I don't know if like they were trying to give us like some kind of like, here's a cultural thing about Australia that you could experience while you're down there. But it is, the shout is basically like you would go to a bar and the concept would be that you buy around for everyone in the bar.
Okay.
And I do remember that like I was told this and I was like, okay, I need to be prepared. So I spent like a ton of time preparing it, like going like the months leading up to my trip to Australia, trying to save money and selling things and doing everything I could possibly come up with to have as much money for the trip as humanly possible. Because I was like, what happens if I end up needing to buy like 40 drinks?
Right.
You know, like I like for myself, I won't buy 40 drinks the whole time I'm there.
Right.
You know, like, but like what happens if I walk into a bar and it's like, all right, that's a bar tab of like, you know, $400, $500 or something like
right.
that. Like, oh no. Okay. Like, you know, I want to go. I want to make sure I do right by the locals, you know, by the people who are here. But I'm also like terrified at the prospect
of the
expense. And then like we got there and like, at least from our experience, and it could have been the case we were just going to pure touristy bars, but it was not, it didn't come up anywhere. Like right. I didn't witness a shout.
Well, that is interesting. That is such a fun thing to be like really concerned about. It feels like quicksand or something, like when you're a kid. Like,
oh yeah, right,
you know, like
right.
You grow up and you're like, quicksand, just like, it's going to be a problem when I'm older.
Right.
Like, I'm
right.
going to need to know how to deal with it. Like, don't move, stand still, you know, whatever. But it's like, that's not really a thing out in the wild. It's like, you hear about it, but it's like, it's not really out there. Like, it does exist. It's not that it's non-existent, but like, it's not like... but yeah, is it really out there?
I know. I mean, now I'm trying to remember if I've even told the story in the pop or if I just talked to the team about it here in the office. So it's like, stop me if I did, but somewhere along the way, somebody told me that like corn silos, like where they like store dried corn.
Yeah.
Like if you fall in, you can like sink down inside of it and it can be incredibly
dangerous.
Because
you can like displace the...
Like it's, and you can't, I think it's the case, like, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, could you swim in a pool full of Jell-O? Like would Jell-O react to swimming motions the same way that like it, like water does? Like is that how being fully submerged? Because to the best of my understanding, corn is one of these things where it's like, it's lightweight enough that you like drop into it.
Right. Because like there's enough, it's like, it's not like it, you can't push against it like water because there is air between the kernels.
Right. Yeah. And but then like the edges of it are also smooth that it's not like gravel either, where like if you were to land in
it's not going to like catch on itself.
Exactly.
Either.
Yeah. Like there's not enough friction. So it's like, it can be really dangerous. And I feel like somebody told me this once upon a time as well. And it was one of those things where it was like, I immediately like sometimes I will like just have the resting fear that I will find myself atop a corn silo and somebody may just push me in.
Right.
You know, and it's like, Ben, you've never seen a corn, like, you've never seen a corn silo. Yeah. You never had to interact with one ever.
Right.
And even if you did, chances are the person who's up there with you is also very aware of the attached dangers and doesn't have, like, you know, isn't out to get you.
Yeah, right.
But in my head, I'm like, I'm this close to accidentally finding myself atop a corn silo with, with an enemy.
I assume there's probably even, like, I would bet that the modern corn silo also has like ladders on the inside for such occasions.
Like there's safety protocols.
Like they know
involved.
It could happen. I do think this is a thing. I think you can drown in corn.
Ooh,
for sure.
Don't say it is. I don't like it.
No, yeah, I know. This is not the kind of corn culture we're trying to discuss here.
Not what the original intent was. But so that's the other thing too. Yeah, so it's like, where is quicksand and why is it there?
I know. I would assume it has to be like on the... In like jungles,
but I don't know.
Jungles,
if that's, is that Jumanji the movie?
It
like
could be
infiltrating our brains.
I know. I'm like this is where it shows up in like you know, in movies and stuff. Is in jungles like the Amazon rainforest. I'm not sure why there were, but then you have to ask yourself, like, why is there a pit of sand in the middle of the jungle? And it's like, well, maybe quicksand is even the wrong word. It's just like really loose dirt that has just the right amount of water in it, so it feels. as if, you know.
Yeah. Well, so this is just a quick Google search while we were talking.
Okay.
Because I just wanted to know. It's like, so quicksand can be found all over the world, but it's most common in the United States. So dang it.
Oh, man.
We're as close as possible.
So, suddenly the walk to my car seems a lot more dangerous.
I know. It's like, there was a sketchy pothole.
Yeah.
We need to keep an eye on that one. Give it a wide berth.
Yeah.
Most common in the United States near rivers and estuaries. It's especially prevalent in the marshy coasts of Florida and Carolinas.
Of course it's in Florida.
I know. Yeah, right. Yeah. As well as the canyons of southern Utah, New Mexico, and northern Arizona. So, okay. So it's like one of those things where it's like, but this is, it's interesting because there have actually been occasions where I've been like wading into a river to go like kayaking or canoeing or something like that. And you do occasionally find yourself inside of like gloop.
Yeah.
For lack of a better word.
Yeah.
Where it's like you step in and it's like, it's kind of mud, but you're sort of like knee deep before you know it. But also it's one of those things where it's like, there is like a layer of clay.
Yeah. It's like it occurs to me that perhaps I have been in shallow quicksand before.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Right.
Like, but like now that you start to think about it, it's kind of like, have I survived quicksand?
Exactly.
Like like a bunch of times.
A bunch of times, you know, like ankle deep, shin deep quicksand.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
It kind of smells
no
awful.
No problem. Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But you can see though where it would be like in those scenarios, I've also like been, you know, stepped in that consistency of stuff, and like you try and pull your foot out and like, you know, you lose your shoe.
You do. Yeah. I mean, it has like a suction to it, you know,
yeah.
That you have to be highly aware of or, you know, I don't know, but yeah, it's funny to me because you're right. Like it is one of those things. And then even in my head, I'm like, wait, okay. But so where is quicksand and why is it there? And it's like, in my head, I'm almost like, maybe everything we've ever been told about quicksand is like largely not as like worrisome. Like even though it does exist, it almost never exists in the capacity you've seen it.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
So
like, cause what yeah, every time you see it, it is, you know, a giant pool of 20 foot quicksand and it is trying to eat you.
Yes.
And
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it seems like in
there's
certain,
probably a snake in there too. Or,
oh yeah. Yeah. Like it's just like, it's like, yeah. So it's like, even if you get out of the quicksand, the snake's going to get you.
Exactly.
Like,
you're doomed.
Man, why are we providing people with nightmare fuel right now?
I know. Yeah.
They're like, guys, come on.
Guys.
Just trying to drive to work over here.
Do you think like, I think this was like specifically, it seems like quicksand was a real danger in a lot of like movies for millennials. Like I wonder if Gen Z people have like even any fear of quicksand at all.
They're like, what do you guys,
they're like, what
do
you
about?
What,
like,
is quicksand? I have to look this up now. Oh my god.
No this is what you guys were told was out there.
Yeah, exactly. This is what we grew up afraid of, man.
It is indeed. Yeah. but fortunately so far, knock on wood, we've either
survived
completely. Yeah. Conquered even. Yeah. Is the word I was gonna
conquered
go for.
It yeah, right. Yeah. Spat in its face.
Right,
quicksand.
Right. Maybe that should be our new t-shirt campaign is proud survivor of quicksand. Probably. I mean, it's everywhere ish.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there you go. But yeah, corn silos
just
for whatever reason. I mean, it's like sometimes I like will literally just be like sitting there and Alice would be like, what are you thinking about? And I'm like, do you really want to know?
Not corn silos. Why?
It's great. I'm thinking about corn silos.
I'm thinking
again.
About again.
Again. I just can't
here.
Get it out of my head. It does. I mean, it seems like, if, you know, for something, especially because in my mind, and it probably isn't like popping corn like we would use for popcorn, but something I love so dearly for it to turn on me like that and become dangerful.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
No. I mean, I suppose they must store the unpopped popcorn somewhere.
Well, certainly they do.
Right. Yeah.
It has to be somewhere before it goes in those containers.
I know.
Like, or does it?
Or they just get it right out of the field straight into the container.
You know, I will tell you that at some point, I think this is even a thing that you can purchase, but they're like cube watermelons. And I think that they don't roll. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's like I think they're very expensive.
Sure,
because
sure.
The process is taking like an acrylic box so that the fruit as it grows is able to like fill
like
in.
Morphs.
Yeah. The box. Then you like crack the box open and you've got like a cube shaped watermelon. I feel like that this is another one of those things like where it was on like the news one night, you know, like the 5 o'clock like fluff piece is like,
yeah,
could watermelons becoming cubes? And I think it was like, yeah, it's like, so they don't roll and they can be like packed more neatly and stuff like that.
Right.
But it's like, it seems like it's never really caught on as anything more than like a novelty.
Yeah.
But I'd like to have one someday.
A square watermelon.
A cube.
It feels like under those growing conditions, it just feels like it would, it's not as healthy for the plant.
It does feel like it's not as healthy for the plant, which seems like it would yield a less tasty
flavor. Yeah.
Right. Speaking of fruits.
Yeah.
I noticed on the show notes that you had something here.
Oh.
And I was blown away because as I was scrolling through what your notes were, I was like, wait a second. Okay. What is happening right now that this has happened to both of us?
Oh.
I'll let you lead because you included the thing first.
Okay. About the bananas?
About the bananas.
Okay, I'm curious what happened to you with bananas.
Well, it's just, I mean, yeah. I there's a piece of me that feels like it's going to be the same story, but you let me know.
Okay. Okay, yeah, maybe it is. The other day I was like literally thought vomiting all of these notes onto a note on my phone.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I don't want to forget it all. And I was typing, and it was like all so fresh in my brain. And you were like, what on earth are you writing over there? I've never heard you type this long, this fast without a break ever.
Dude, I'm not going to lie to you. It was actually jarring. So me and Jay work close enough to each other that our computers, like, we sit like 4.5 feet from each other. We stand. Yeah. 4.5 feet from each other.
Yeah.
And you are, I would say you have like brevity in the way that you communicate via text or email. Like you are not someone who's like sending like
paper. I'm highly skilled at it. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So you send, you are concise. You do not send paragraphs ever. If you sent me 4 sentences in a text message, I would probably call you and be like, yo, what's up?
That's an alarmingly long text.
Yeah, I know. But I'd be willing to suspect that there are plenty of people, myself included, that have sent 4 sentences.
I'm not going to say I've never done it, but like, even if I were going to do that, I would probably just send 4 1-sentence text messages.
Oh, sure, sure.
You know, like one thought, and then while you're reading that one, let me follow up. And then while you're reading that one, let me follow up.
Right, you know, right, yeah.
More engagement, you know.
I mean, exactly.
If I send you a 1 4-sentence block of text, you'd be like, I'll read that later.
It's the hilarious difference between people saying that a 3-hour movie is too long, but will regularly watch like a 12-hour TV show.
Oh man, Beth has this exact like thing. She's like we will sit there and we'll watch, three 1-hour-long episodes of a show in a row, no problem. But if I'm like, do you want to watch a 2-hour movie? She's just like, I'm going to fall asleep. I'm like, I don't see what I guess the difference is that like every individual episode has like baked in ups and downs to continue to draw you in.
Right.
Whereas
right.
a movie will have that as well, but it'll only have all those things once and they will all be drawn out much further because they are fitting the story into a bigger block.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. But so anyway, but back to your texting related thing. So yeah, I mean, even Jay, like when writing on a script, which would be the lengths of time that I would expect you to type the most in one go.
You'd think,
Even then, I mean, cause we're writing multi-page long scripts, but like even then there's usually times where you have to like break in order to do like an additional piece of like research or like contemplate how you like where you want to go next or
right.
like what like you know so it's like you're usually not typing like full bore for like long lengths of time.
Yeah.
So anyway, the other day though, I'm like listening to Jay and I'm like, wait a second, this sounds weird. This sounds really weird. And then like I'm stopping what I'm doing. I'm like, yo, what's going on over there? So apparently this is that.
This is that.
I'm about to find out.
Okay, yeah. You can find out the story I was typing. So basically this was like almost like over a week ago now, but the setting is we're about to sit down for dinner.
Yeah.
Right. And it sounds like such a simple request from my son Luke, and he says, Daddy, can I have a banana?
Okay.
And it just like the like psychological like breakdown it gave me was like tremendous, like in like what, like, you know, in the span of a second, like all of this kind of goes through my mind because like he's asking, can I have a banana? And like, so what, because at first I'm like, it sounds like, oh, you want a piece of fruit? Of course, have a piece of fruit, right?
Yeah.
But there's so much more to it than that. Because on the one hand, we're also about to sit down for dinner, which Beth has already like, you know, cooked and prepared and gotten together for the whole family. It's like, and banana is not on the menu, right?
Sure.
So like, there's already food available to you right now. And of that food is a sliced apple and some grapes.
Okay.
So other fruit is already available to you on the table for dinner.
Okay.
Right. So it occurs to me that when he asked me for the banana, that it's almost more of like a bid at being disagreeable, at like controlling my fruit intake. Like, you want to feed me these things? Too bad. I want that thing. You know,
right.
The
right,
situation.
Right. Yep.
In fact, this is almost certainly the play.
Okay.
Because Luke is, you know, he likes to be in control.
Okay.
He likes to be in control. So if he wants to try the banana, if he wants to choose his fruit, that's like his way of being in control of his food.
This has been like my common sentiment lately, is that I feel like almost all discretion between people boil down to a lack of sense of control or fear of the unknown.
Right.
It's like almost everything is one of those two things.
Right. And in a weird way, this is sort of butting up against both.
Okay.
Because on the one hand, he asked me for the banana, and I'm like, there's not really any harm in giving it to him.
Okay.
You know, right. But the only reason we have bananas is because I'm the only one in the house who eats them.
Okay.
And by eating them, I mean, I put them in my morning smoothie.
Yeah, of course.
And so if I give him a banana, it'll just mean that my banana supply is now one day short.
Sure.
Which is not like a huge problem. Bananas are extremely easy to come by.
Sure.
But replacing one banana is going to it's going to require a bunch of effort to get more bananas.
Okay.
You know, you're going to have to go to the store. You're going to have to DoorDash them. You're going to have to make a stop somewhere to pick up a second set of bananas.
Sure.
When this one runs out. So there is some cost to doing it. But at the same time, I don't want to, like, he is asking to try a food he does not traditionally go for.
Right. Okay. Right. Yep. Yep.
So there's that part of it, though. He's saying, like, I want a banana. And so part of me is like, well, on the other hand, I don't want to say no just because those are my bananas and because I know you're being contradictory right now. Because on the other hand, like, you are asking to try a new food.
And it's a healthy food.
And it's a healthy food on top of that. And it's like, I don't want to if you're willing to try new things, I want to encourage that behavior. So I don't want you to have like asked to try something new, especially something healthy that's good for you, and then said no.
Sure.
Even though I'm almost positive, one, that you don't really want a banana, and two, that you're not going to like it.
Right.
But nonetheless, I'm like, there is the possibility that if I give it to you, you will like it. And if you do like it, this is an enormous win,
right?
Overall, because then,
yeah. Well, I was gonna say, like, the frequency at which, like, you know, Addie will ask me for like just one piece of candy,
yeah.
You know, it's sort of like you are constantly having to say no,
yeah.
So the opportunity to be like, you want something that I can say yes to, it's like, that's pretty tempting.
Exactly. So it's like, and not only that, like, bananas are, I mean, if your kid will eat a banana, I mean, what an enormous day for you.
Right.
Because, like, one, bananas are extremely cheap. They are also quite filling in their own right, and they're good for you.
Right.
So it's like there is almost no downside to it if he wants it, if he enjoys it.
Right.
But is he just being disagreeable, which is like 95% chance the case.
Okay.
And in which case, I will be down a smoothie.
Right. Yeah. So, and then it becomes a net loss.
And then it becomes a net. So it's like, it feels like all indicators are at this is not going to work out, but the potential upside is so great.
Right.
So ultimately I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give him the banana.
Okay.
Remember, he already has fruit on the table anyway. And fruit he likes. You know, he likes apples and grapes.
Sure.
So anyway.
I was trying to make a pun on the benefit of the doubt and call it the banana of the doubt. And I was like, I don't know if it works that well. But anyway, give him the banana of the doubt.
Giving him the banana of the doubt. I decide I'm going to give him the banana. And of course, he can't open it. So, but he, like, he doesn't know how to, like, open a banana.
Right.
But he still wants to peel it because, let's face it, peeling a banana is like one of the coolest features of a banana.
It is
like the
handy.
Fun part.
Yeah.
So I peel the top part of it to him and he wants to peel the rest. So I hand that to him and he peels it way too far down. The weight of the fruit collapses and it falls in half.
Oh no.
So half the banana lands on the floor.
Oh no.
And he's holding the other half. And now, and this is the worst case scenario, because now I've given him the banana, and now I'm like, no, it's okay. Like, he will not eat the one that's on the floor because now it's dirty.
Yeah.
Which is like totally fine.
Right.
I'm like,
I mean, of all the foods to fall on the floor, a banana does seem like kind of low on the list for potential, still edible.
like you shouldn't eat it.
Like you shouldn't eat it.
Yeah,
like
it's got like a moistness to it.
A moistness. Like, yeah, it's absorbing the germs, yeah. like as if it was designed to do so.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, the good news is, though, that if half a banana falls on the floor, you're still holding the other half.
Right.
Right. To any non-child, this would be perfect logic. You're going to say, oh, man, I lost half a banana. Good thing I can still eat the other half.
Right.
But if you're 6 years old, this is like Hurricane 9, you know, like this is the worst that's ever happened to you. And not only is the part of the banana on the floor not edible, but if you think I'm going to take a bite out of this banana, you're outside of your mind. I want a brand new banana. Now I'm about to be down two bananas.
Two smoothie days.
That's
it. I'm going to the store. What's the point of even eating dinner? Well,
exactly. Because now I have to go through the entire process again, except now he's also screaming that the banana is broken. And of course, it's my fault, you know?
Oh, yeah, naturally. Yeah.
Naturally, nothing's his fault.
What were you thinking?
What was I thinking? Handing him the banana. And I eventually convince him that the banana in his hand is like still edible and totally clean, and he can just eat that. And if he wants it, and if he eats it, I'll give him a whole nother banana. And he finally agrees to take a bite out of that one, and he doesn't like it. So
no, after all that,
I know.
Oh my gosh, man. So you're down two bananas, and
no, what? I did save the other one.
Oh, you did. Yeah. Okay.
I did manage to convince him to try the half that was left in his hand.
Okay. I was gonna say, one of my pro tips when it comes to bananas is that when they do become like a little bit like overripe,
yeah,
is usually not a bad opportunity to like peel them and then freeze them and then put those bananas into your smoothie, because then it's like a instead of using like ice, you've got your frozen banana, which serves as the ice.
It serves as the ice. And I have done this, and we like, if bananas go too bad, like I will do this instead of like just tossing them.
Sure.
Obviously. But I have found that the overall smoothie is a lot worse if you use frozen bananas, just because a frozen banana it makes it a lot thicker.
Ah,
like
sure.
Significantly so, like in a really noticeable way. So fresh banana, less thick overall smoothie.
Okay.
Is my thought here. So what's your banana story?
Well, I have to tell you that my banana story didn't cause me to write like a full length, 50,000 word essay.
Yeah.
However, I got a text from Alice yesterday. And so, like I said, I mean, Addie definitely, I think it's probably a little bit of like the same control thing, but like she will ask me in particular for food a lot. Like so often, to the point where Alice is definitely like, Ben, you need to like not permit her. Like she needs to have very, very specific and designated like snack times, because otherwise she is just going to always, always, always be snacking, and it's going to become a problem. But my major exception to this is that pretty much for years now, she has been a huge fan of like apples.
Yeah.
And so it's always like one of those things where she's like, can I have an apple? And it's like, oh, of course you can. Like you can always have an apple. So it ends up working out quite well, because, yeah, you know, I don't ever mind giving it to her. But so then one of the big things as well, though, is similarly, like, you know, if she asks for, just depending on what she asks for, there's always that possibility that she might end up not actually liking it. And then you've gone through and like made like a can of soup or whatever, and she eats none of it. And you're like, ugh, well, now either I'm going to eat this can of soup, or it's just going to go to waste. And that feels like, you know, inherently you try not to waste anything ever.
This is the problem. I will make the kids stuff, and it's like, well, I don't want it to go to waste, so I'll eat it. And then it's like, now I feel worse about myself.
Yeah. Exactly. So, but anyway, so Allie just texted me yesterday, and she's like, Ben, you were not going to believe this. And I'm like, what's going on? She's like, okay, Addie just asked for a banana. And I'm like, whoa, no way. And she's like, no, it gets even better. She ate the whole thing.
Oh.
And I was like, what?
Oh.
You are joshing me right
now.
And she wasn't even joshing me at all. It was, wow. She was straight for cereal.
That is awesome.
Which hilariously is something else she occasionally requests. But
yeah.
So then this morning, you know, it was really funny because she was eating a banana, and she could tell I was really excited that she was eating a banana. And I was like, Addie, that's so great. And she's like, Daddy, want a bite? And so then she brings it over, and I took a bite. But then sort of back to close closer to your story. The bite that I took was too irregular and caused the top of the banana to no longer be flat.
How dare you?
And I know. So then, and then I was like, okay, so now whenever Addie is eating a banana and she offers me some of her banana, I have to take a very, very specific and careful kind of bite in order to, you know, leave her with a, like a banana related situation that she's comfortable with.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. 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 So anyway, mine was a lot shorter, but when you said that, what went through my head was, I was like, I wonder if something is happening inside of like the zeitgeist of small children right now,
yeah.
Like where like Miss Rachel or something is like doing banana, like snacking. And I'm like,
bananas are hot, man.
Bananas are in. I was like, you know, like what is going on? Is it like on their For You page or something? Not like bananas, the avocados of the day.
Banana toast. It's incoming.
It's incoming. Actually, no, that doesn't sound so bad. If you get something like a sweet and salty, you know.
Yeah. You do bananas on like French toast, no problem. Yeah.
Now I'm trying to think, salty bananas, is that the most horrifying thought imaginable?
I'm sure we're sitting here like salt bananas on toast, like it's kind of weird, but I'm like, I'm sure this is exactly what everyone was like with like avocados on toast. What's wrong with them?
I know. Yeah. I mean, that's, it's like I've said before, but I feel like avocados are largely like, they're almost like without flavor. So they are just a vehicle for carrying like a little bit of like salt and pepper on top. In which case it's just like, it's like having thick flavorless butter that's green.
Yeah. Normally, yeah, exactly. Right.
Avocado mostly. Toast.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Exactly.
Who knew?
It's so good.
Banana toast coming soon.
Coming soon.
Man, maybe
from Gen Alpha.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. There. That's the new thing. So I just couldn't believe it though, because this has just happened in the past 24 hours of my life.
Wow.
So yeah, she had a banana yesterday and she was eating it when I got home from work. And then when we got up this morning, we were like, you know, going through and doing breakfast and everything. We've been making her dinosaur egg oatmeal, which she's been all about.
That's a pretty good one.
She is so tenacious because she really likes to be involved with the manufacturing process of any meals that we're having.
Oh,
so
okay.
Like if there's cooking involved, she wants to play a role.
Well, I would just encourage that to some degree. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But so like what usually happens though with specifically the dinosaur egg oatmeal is I'll tear the lid off and we're going to pour it in like her like little silicone bowl that she uses. And the second that I pour it into the bowl, her fingers are in there like the most sophisticated claw machine you've ever seen. Because I will have like the hot prepared milk ready to be poured in.
Yeah.
And I mean it's literally like, I mean, seconds. I mean, she's just like, I mean, she'll have like four dinosaur eggs that she's pulled out of the dinosaur egg. And there's only like seven, you know, like,
yeah, really. She's just, by the end of it, she's just eating regular oatmeal.
And yes, she is just eating regular oatmeal. But to be fair, usually it's like what I started doing was like, if she sees the dinosaur egg, she'll like be like, I want a green one in the next bite. And it's like, okay, it's like, we're out of green ones. And it's like, no, I want a red one. It's like, okay, we're out of red ones. So then I just started to be like, the egg is hiding inside of the bite. And she's like, the egg's hiding inside of the bite. So then she'll just eat regular oatmeal. And it's just like, there is no egg hiding.
Oh.
So, I'm sorry, Addison, if you're listening right now.
Yeah. From the future. You're like, this, what a minute, Dad.
So, wait. I thought I was enjoying delicious candied dinosaur shapes,
man.
And instead I was just eating regular brown sugar oatmeal. Ugh.
Man. Okay, let me ask you if you think this is a failing at breakfast or a succeeding at breakfast.
Okay, lay it on me.
Okay, so if you recall from our childhood, when we would have breakfast, we would have cereal.
Cereal.
Yeah.
We had cereal basically every single day of our entire childhood.
Exactly.
Which, honestly, I loved. So,
exactly. Every morning came down, not what do you want for breakfast, what cereal do you want?
Right.
Yeah. Right? And when I look back, I'm like, man, Mom, really? I mean, she like got that, like, it didn't even occur to us. It didn't occur to me to like ask for something else for breakfast.
No, yes.
Yeah, on the weekend, maybe you could ask for toast.
Yeah.
Or maybe they were making like pancakes and bacon or something.
Yeah, we would do. I mean, I think like on weekends, we would usually have that. And then like Friday night, actually, I think for like 30 years, our dad has gone to Dunkin' Donuts and bought like a dozen donuts for like the TV station. And so we would usually also have Dunkin' Donuts on Saturday morning.
Exactly. Yeah. Because we would have had them from Friday night.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
he still does it to this day.
I know.
Yeah. It's
wild. Unbelievable.
Yeah. I love it. I love it though.
The dedication.
Such a
great.
Commit
to the bit.
Way to go, Dad.
Yeah. Friday night, Carlin's bringing donuts.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes.
You know, rely on it.
Rely on
WSLS.
It. Fan favorite in the office. Anyway, so continue though. So cereal for breakfast.
Cereal for breakfast. That's what we had every single day. It might, like when I look back on it, it was so efficient.
It's very efficient. But the one thing that I would say about eating cereal is that it makes me hungrier than eating nothing. So if I wake up in the morning and have a bowl of cereal, then by like 10 a.m., my stomach has like been activated. It's like, okay, you ate something which wasn't enough calories for you.
Ben, let me ask, what kind of cereal do you eat over there?
I'm not eating Raisin Bran, I'll tell you that much.
Well, maybe that's your problem.
For free.
I don't know, no, like, I'm having like, smoothies for breakfast right now. So
you're good.
So I'm good. I'm not going. But when I do have cereal, it is Raisin Bran.
Oh, yeah, I know it
also,
is.
Also, you could eat more cereal. Anyway, that's not the point. Okay. The genius behind the way Mom had it set up is that there was that everyone knew that what was for breakfast.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So on the other hand, for my kids this morning, it is like on a case-by-case basis what each child wants for breakfast.
Oh, dear.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, that sounds challenging.
Yes. So like this morning, I had to make ham sandwiches for Luke, cereal for Nick.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And sausage for Nate.
Wow.
And I made them all.
You're going all out, man. I'm very impressed.
Thank you. It's just like, and I can usually, most days I can get Nick and Nate both on cereal. I was surprised Nate went for the sausage today.
Okay.
And because normally I try and phrase it like, I'm like, you guys want some cereal? I shouldn't even say that. I should say, what cereal do you want for breakfast? Yeah. This is the phrasing problem.
I know. Yeah.
Not, do like, you want cereal?
Right, right.
What cereal do you want?
Summon your inner our mom.
I know. Yeah. Yes. Do that. But the thing is, if I ask them if they want cereal, Nick and Nate are usually just like, they're normally a yes.
Okay.
And they'll go for it. Luke won't, because I suggested it, you know, like that. As going back to the banana thing, it's like he needs to be in control of the situation.
Yeah, like that's more of like a game of chess.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So it's like, Jay, you should be treating morning breakfast routine more like how you treat like a collective game of Mario Party.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's
right.
Sort of like, okay, they think I'm going to go left up here, so I'm
going
to go right.
I'm going
instead.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. What are you doing? You think?
Steal a star, man.
Exactly. Well, we've gotten the ham sandwich is pretty much Luke's go-to breakfast thing.
Okay.
Most days.
A ham sandwich.
I say ham sandwich. It's like the Hawaiian rolls, you know?
Oh, yeah. Those are delicious.
Yeah. So it's the Hawaiian rolls with just like a piece of, like, you know, a piece of deli ham on it. And then I'll microwave it for like 15 seconds. So for a while, he also wanted ranch and mustard on them. He's off that.
Have you considered opening a breakfast establishment?
No.
Jay's famous ham biscuits.
That's right. Jay's famous ham biscuits. They're from the microwave.
From the microwave.
That's right. Oh man. So that's, yes. Yeah, Luke normally has his little ham. But yeah, today I had to make all three different things. Fortunately, it was pizza day at lunch, so Luke was just buying.
Okay.
Didn't have to pack lunch this morning.
There you go.
And I'm also recovering from norovirus. As we speak, which hit my family hard this past weekend.
It is so rough. I mean, it's like any kind of sick that you're ever feeling is always the worst, but stomach sick, I do think is the worst.
Oh my gosh. I was having that, just this thought this weekend. It's like, I remembered back over Christmas break when we were all suffering from COVID, and it was like, oh my gosh, you know what's the worst? Headaches and fevers are the absolute worst possible you can feel. And then this weekend I was like, you know what's really the worst? Nausea is the worst you could feel.
Nausea is the worst you can feel.
And then it was like,
terrible.
You know what's the worst? Bowel movements are the worst you can feel. Just like, whatever you're currently suffering from, that's probably the worst you could feel. Like, I don't know, I'm gonna make it.
Like, that was like a slow burn. My like laugh became more laughter as I was laughing.
Oh my gosh. It has been a really long weekend at my house, and those Regards.
I am very sorry about that. And I know that, like, I know that's been very difficult and it's like such an uphill battle. And then the other thing about it is that you and I both, because Beth and Alice are going to our cousin's bridal shower in New York State this upcoming weekend. It means that both me and you are on solo dad duties starting Friday through end of day Monday. So we've got like big parent weekends ahead.
We sure do.
Where's your mind at? What is your strategy going into the big game, as it were?
I know. So there's a matter of trying to figure out if, like, part of it's figuring out, like, will I be coming into work, or are these like work from home days? Can someone come? Like, do I need to, like, I obviously have to take everyone to school in the morning.
Sure.
But then is there like, oh, someone could pick them up in the afternoon and I'll just, you know, they can watch them in the afternoon or something. So I'm sort of working out, or do I just need to just work from home? Is it too much to try and coordinate this with other people? Because the main person I would normally ask is like mom, and she'll be gone, the same trip.
Yeah, she's part of the convoy.
So there's that. And then like the area of the afternoon is like around like, you know, 2 o'clock or so, which is typically when dad goes into work.
Right.
So it doesn't seem like he's a great option there. And then there's like, I could probably get Beth's parents in on it, but, you know, well, her mom still works and then it's just her dad. So maybe he'd be up for it. We'll see. Maybe he doesn't want to spend his afternoon in retirement doing this, though. I don't know.
In my mind, I'm like, we are like two and a half days from this being our reality.
Yeah.
to be sorting through the logistics. So it sounds like you're going to be working from home is what I feel like will happen.
You already have these logistics sorted out?
I have the logistics sorted out. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm covered for Friday and Monday. But then all day Saturday, all day Sunday, me and Addie are just going to go on adventures and stuff.
Okay. What kind of adventures are you going to go on?
I'm not sure. I'm thinking trampoline park.
That sounds fun.
Seems like a good place to go.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, I feel like the last time we went, somehow me and you both ended up being on the phone the entire time that we were at the trampoline park. And it was like, it was one of those parenting moments where I was like, oh no, it's like you see it happen in the TV shows and the movies. And there's like that classic parent who's like pulled away from like the birthday party to have to go and do like a work related thing. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is us right now. Like, we are the people standing in the corner on our cell phones looking at each other.
I know.
But otherwise, Addie had an absolute blast, so I was thinking that'd be like a good opportunity.
That is a good one.
I am having so much fun right now because Addie is like slowly but surely aging into the ability to like go and do like activities like that.
Yeah.
Whereas before, you know, it's like you go into the weekends and it's sort of like, okay, we are going to sit and play with Magna Tiles, which honestly are super fun. In case you've never played with Magna Tiles before.
That's almost all I do.
Yeah, I feel like it's like one of those toys where it's like maybe adults should just have more Magna Tiles as well, because it's almost like it's like Legos, but or a Lego. I feel like I'm trying to get better at not pluralifying Lego.
Lego, yeah.
Because it's just Lego.
Right.
Right. But I feel like there is something extremely satisfying about the ease of building a structure that you then get to just like demolish.
Right.
Like, and it's like no problem. There's no love lost over it. You're not like, oh man.
Oh, you'd think that. There's plenty of love lost over destroyed Magna Tile buildings at my house.
Oh. Well, usually for me, it's just like I'm trying to build a tower as fast as I can, and Addie is trying to watch and wait for it to be to reach its critical mass, as it were, before she goes into full Godzilla mode and just annihilates it.
Right, yeah. Maybe I should just introduce this. Just build stuff for the sake of destroying.
Exactly.
Well, I say a lot of what happens is that you don't have to deal with like the sibling aspect of it, where
this is true.
someone is really focused on building something else, and someone else is focused on ruining their day. Oh, it takes one.
One person didn't get to control the outcome, and the other person definitely did.
Exactly. So
what a power play.
Or two of them are just wrestling, and they run into someone else's thing.
Yeah.
Or someone hits, or you know, we also have like the super mag, like the, I don't even know what they're called, like super tiles or something.
Oh yeah, they're like Magna Tiles, but like feet long.
Yeah, they're like giant, like supersized like felt Magna Tiles that you can build like houses out of, that you can go in.
Yes,
they are so cool. And we got like an extra, like an upgrade to our set for the twins' birthday, and they've been building all sorts of fun stuff with them, and that's really cool. But sometimes, because they can be inside them, like, you know, you can build like tunnels and stuff, but there's always like that one tile where, like, just even just playing in it normal. If someone like elbows the wrong tile on the side and like lodges it free, like it could start a domino effect that the whole thing comes tumbling down. And then it's just like everyone was having fun and all of a sudden a complete accident, it's chaos. And it's like, oh no. And it's like, I so understand. And it's like, everyone's mad at that kid. And it's right, like, right. I understand why you're mad at them. And I also understand that it was a complete accident. And also, it's pretty easy to rebuild. So let's focus on that. Let's do that.
Right. Yeah. Big intent versus impact situation.
Exactly.
Going on there.
Right. Yeah. It's like, no one meant to do anything. Man. But yeah, Magnet Tiles, super good toy.
They are indeed. Yeah. So looking forward to a big weekend of construction.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a lot of that. Weirdly, in my head, one of the things I have been trying to determine whether or not I will be capable of working on is the garden.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'm like,
we are at that time of year. Again,
it is like that time of year where like I want to work on it at some point. And I know that working on it will involve like probably renting or borrowing some sort of like rototiller type situation just to like junk up all the weeds and get them out of there.
Get them out of there.
Retill the land, put down some new topsoil and stuff like that. And it's like I feel like it's the right time of year. What I feel like I keep thinking about wondering like, can I do it this weekend? And I'm like, it'll just be me and the kids. And I'm like, could I do it anyway? Like, how much harder will it make it? Or will it be like, yeah, you guys just play over there and I'll be over here? Or, you know, like part of me thinks it's doable and part of me thinks I'm crazy for even considering it.
No, I know exactly where you're coming from because I just had an instance a couple weekends ago where I was needing to mow the lawn really for the first time because I was having everybody over for like Easter Sunday. And so I'm like out there mowing the lawn. It was kind of a similar instance where like Alice was also trying to like prepare the house. And so we had like all of our doors open. So like Addie could like freely roam from like pretty much anywhere. I mean, she could go in and out of the house, and because our whole yard is fenced in, she could just sort of like, you know, go back and forth. So at one point in time, it was actually quite adorable. But then I was also like worried about the safety of the situation.
Yeah.
But she comes over. She sees I'm mowing the lawn. She's very interested in the fact that I'm mowing the lawn. It's way more interesting than like the vacuum cleaner that's running inside of the house.
Yeah.
So she just comes over and reaches up and holds my hand. And so I got like my headphones on and everything. And I'm like in the zone, like mowing. So she just holds my hand and we go back and forth and we're mowing the lawn, like literally half of my lawn. I'm just holding onto the mower with one hand and holding her hand with the other. So if at any point in time anybody walked by, they would have just seen this grown man holding a 2.5-year-old hand.
Adorable.
So it was extremely cute, but it was also, I was like, I'm moving something that by design is a fan where the blade is a sharp steel blade.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, I worried that like if something like kicked out or anything like that, it was like, okay, could this be dangerous? So maybe a tad bit, but she, I think, very much enjoyed getting to go and do yard work.
Hopefully that sticks with her, and then at some point she'll just be like, Dad, can I mow the lawn? And be like, of course,
you definitely can mow the lawn. Yes.
You know what? Maybe if you know what, you can pay me. If you give me $5, you can mow the lawn.
That's it. You have to rent the lawn.
You can rent the lawnmower from me.
Yeah. I love it.
That would be the greatest con of all time.
That would be like the ultimate like millennial like no matter what, mowing the lawn comes with $5.
No matter what.
Because like when we were kids, it's like, all right, I'll pay you $5 to mow the lawn. It's like, deal.
Yeah.
And then like we grow up to be parents who charge our kids $5 to mow the lawn.
Yeah. Yeah. I was on Zillow the other day and I was looking at our neighbor's house from when we were growing up.
Our babysitter's house?
Our babysitter's house.
Mama Scott's.
Mama Scott. I was looking at Mama Scott's house because since we have been there, it has been largely renovated on the inside.
Oh,
and it's
no
so
way.
Interesting to like look at all the pictures from the inside and be like, oh, I remember this room and I remember that room. And like, you know, the room we used to sit in and like watch TV is not like just like an office, you know.
Huh, the den?
The den, yeah. And then I like the kitchen is still like the same layout. It looks like much nicer, but it's the same layout. And I'm like, how on earth did she fit a table in here? You know, I'm like,
is it a small room?
It's a small room.
No way.
Yes. I'm like, this is such a small little thing there. Like now there's not a table in there. And I'm like, there's barely room for anything in here.
That's so interesting because I mean, maybe we were just so small. We had no idea. Or like, is it possible the table that I remember in my mind was actually like a kid-sized table, but
I don't think so. I think it was under the, I don't know.
It seemed
It must have just been like narrower than I remember or something.
Right, right.
Or maybe it was just really cramped in there and it just didn't feel that way because just you know, you're a little kid.
Weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so I was looking through that. But as part of it, I was looking at the lawn of the house because I had to mow this lawn many times.
I remember this. Yeah.
Yeah, and I would get paid. I'd get paid $20 for it, which when, you know, you're, you know, eight is like, you know, it's enormous.
Yeah.
It's so much money, which was great. But I was like, I was looking at it and I was like trying to think, like as a kid, it felt like it was so big and it was such a massive thing. And I was looking at it over the weekend and I decided that it is so big.
Oh, really?
It is just like, there is so much grass.
No, like, okay. I was like, 100% I know where this is going. It's going to be like we used to be able to like throw the Frisbee, you know, from one end to the other. It's like, because it was like 20 feet, you know, it's like, it was a small flat backyard, but no, it was big.
It's a big yard.
It's a big yard.
Big yard. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Big area for, I'm like, you know, it's $20. I was still pretty happy with the $20.
I mean, adjusted for inflation, it was probably more like 47. So
probably something like that.
Not so bad.
These days I'd be expecting, you know, like 70 or something. I don't know. No, probably not.
You should go down and offer.
Yeah, go down and offer and be like, hey, you know what? But I have some experience with this yard.
I have a lot of experience with this yard.
This yard.
In particular. You want to see my resume?
Yeah. Yeah, I've cut some grass here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I know what I'm doing. I know that one spot. You know?
Right, where the roots.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you get rid of the bushes. That was a good call. That was nice. Smart.
In the way.
In the way, yeah. Very good. Kept the gravel driveway. Don't know why.
How about that?
No one has fixed the gravel driveway yet.
It's still there.
Still there.
Man. Too expensive to pave, I guess.
I guess so.
Transition.
Transition.
Okay, Jay. So from mowing the lawn to a potentially deep thought question.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know if it's a deep thought. It's an interesting... I was driving the other day and this thought scrolled through my brain and I was like, okay, that's kind of interesting. Like, I wonder if that's a thing. And I was like, if anything, if it was a thing, it's oddly comforting to me. And then I was like, I should bring this up on the pop. And then the more I thought about it, the more I was like, I like that it's comforting to me. I fear that it will not be comforting to others.
Okay.
And so I think that was, let me preface with my hesitation. And it's more of a question. I wouldn't say that this is like, this is not me saying like, here is my ingrained observation of the world. I think this is the thing. But because it brought me comfort, it is the type of thing where I'm like, okay, maybe I want to present it. So the question is your faith in humanity as a whole a reflection of your own self-image? And I know it's kind of like it's like a little bit like wordy, but the sentiment would sort of be like I have always sort of like maintained a very strong faith in humanity. I have always believed that despite all of our faults, like that we as a collective, you know, I mean, there's obviously going to be instances where some people are like negative and it's for reasons, whatever. But like, I have always believed that what will persist is the good inside of all of us.
Uh-huh.
And so the sentiment examined is that like, I am someone who struggles personally, like with my own confidence. I have like a lot of like anxiety, sort of like, you know, bouts of depression and stuff like that. So It's like, you know, sometimes I can be like frustrated, like with like my own mentality about things, because it's sort of like, I don't like that like those things are hard to overcome.
Right.
But then I was like, okay, if I have a lot of positive faith in humanity, and that's me assuming that the rest of the world is like me, then it's kind of like, maybe that's not the worst thing in the world. And maybe that makes me feel better about how I actually view myself. Do you follow the logic?
I think so.
Like I'm not sure whether or not this is the case or not.
Why? Okay. You made one bridge there. It was like, why is your faith in humanity based on the idea that everyone is like you?
Well, so that would be sort of my thought, is that like, I think on some level you've only ever been able to exist inside of your own individual consciousness.
Right. Yeah.
So
you can only be the sum of your own experiences.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But then, so like, then when you think about the way that other people in the world think, it's like, you're going to be biased or skewed on some level because you don't know the ways in which people think potentially radically differently from the way that you think
right.
about things.
Yeah.
So on some level, your perception may be that, on the whole, everybody's basically like me, but with their own individual, like, you know, ups and downs and all arounds that have happened to them throughout life. Mm-hmm. You know, their own life experiences have baked a person who ends up being the way that that person is.
Right.
In some capacity. But yeah. But at the core, we're all like the belief would be that, like, we're all generally kind of like coming from like a similar place. Would be the extrapolation. So, like, you know, if you're attempting to think about society as a whole, you think that there are other people out there, or that all other people are in some way, shape, or form kind of like you.
Okay.
That would be my thought or belief. And for the purposes of this particular observation. So it's sort of like, okay, if I think everybody's like me and I have faith in humanity, then maybe that means I have faith in myself.
Okay.
More than I would normally like be able to say out loud.
Okay.
You know, it's like my own thoughts, my own self-doubt,
yeah,
would lead me to believe that maybe my faith in myself is not very high.
Right. I see.
However, it's like, but if everybody's like me and I feel good about everybody else, then maybe that says something good about how I actually feel about myself.
Oh, this is so interesting, because when I read this in the show notes, it felt very much like the variable. It's like you've solved the problem with yourself as the variable rather than like humanity.
Explain that to me, because I don't know if
okay,
I follow.
Okay, so like I thought you were going to be like, you have like because you experience self-doubt, you would assume that everyone experiences self-doubt, and that like humanity, like you don't have tremendous faith in humanity then.
No, it's the exact opposite.
Right.
Exact opposite. No, I do tend to have, I would say, like the closest core belief that I do hold inside of my heart is faith in humanity.
Right.
Like I do not have like the, I mean, there's no doubt that as I've gotten older, there's certain like areas where I've become like more jaded or cynical. Like I'm not immune to that. Like I think I've had enough things happen in enough common ways where it's like I do possess some of that inside of myself. But on the whole, I think that people are trying really hard to make the world a better place for everyone.
Sure.
You know, I think on some level there's times where it's like we can only succeed in that mission, but so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
However, that would sort of be like where I'm usually positioned.
Okay.
And I do think that outlook tends to be, it keeps me like very grounded. I think it keeps me optimistic.
Okay.
You know, which is a good thing. So again, kind of like the base premise would sort of be then like, you know, but if you are highly cynical about humanity as a whole, the populace, it's like then this is where I worried that if I were to present this thought, that you might be like, oh, wait a second, like if I have like a negative outlook on all of humanity and I as an individual am assuming that all people are a little bit like me in some ways, then does that sort of mean that your own self-image might exist in a more negative capacity?
I see.
Does that make sense? That was my concern.
That was my worry. I guess, yeah, it's interesting that you're like, it still feels like you're almost like reversing how I feel like it would, that like the reflection would work. Like you're using like how I view humanity is like how I am versus like as if you don't know how you are.
I don't know how I am.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's what I mean. Like, you know, it's like, I think being able to assess yourself without, I mean, because you're highly biased towards you.
Yeah.
Like, but for me, I would say I'm biased towards me in a more negative capacity. I tend to think worse of myself than I think is probably overall warranted.
Right.
But so I think that the trick of the mental game is sort of like, what is your faith in humanity? Because what if that says something about how you actually feel about yourself?
I see.
And so I like, cause that's where I think the thought experiment can sort of like lull you like into like an interesting position. It's like, how do you feel about everybody else? And if you as an individual think everybody else is a little bit like you, then how you feel about everybody else is possibly a reflection back at yourself about how you feel about yourself.
Right. Like humanity is good. I'm humanity.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I am good.
I am good. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's that. But then the flip side, like, I mean, I know that it is not like an uncommon belief to have cynicism towards humanity as a whole.
Sure.
I mean, there are bad parts of it. There are dark corners. Like,
I'm not sure I consider humanity as a whole that often.
Do you not?
Not
no,
really.
No, I think about it literally every single day.
Yeah, I know.
It's probably like one of my favorite things to contemplate because it's like, it's so everywhere. It's all the time and always.
I mean, it is all the time and always for sure.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know if like humanity as a whole has like a hive mind collective goal that they're working towards or something.
No, definitely you not. Know? Yeah. No, I do not think we have a hive mind.
Yeah.
Not in any way.
Certainly
shape, or
not. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure. I think there's a collective goal that everyone's working towards.
You don't.
Not necessarily. No.
Oh, interesting.
No.
Okay. Like, not that I even think it's the same goal. Like,
right.
I think that like lots of people are like, if you imagine it like a sphere and everybody's trying to like push the outside edges of the sphere, all of the edges, you know, are being pushed off in a million different directions, mm-hmm. in a myriad of different, like, you know, degrees and stuff like that. But everybody is like attempting. Well, I mean, like, I would say that is like the overall sentiment of like progress in general.
Towards what though?
Towards like greaterness, like more safety, more comfort, more health, more access to resources, that type of thing.
Okay.
That would be my belief that like that is what we're attempting to create.
Right. So like the goal of like everyone's on like everyone like I so like everyone is their own person with their own goals and their own cultures and stuff. But like we, the entirety of team human, are working towards something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Which is the continued survival of team human.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Okay.
Sure.
But you do or do not think that?
I mean, I think everyone's trying to work on like the, you know, continued survival of the human race.
Sure.
Yeah. But like, I think that's like an innate instinct born into every species ever.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, survival is at the core of all species, but we are more intelligent than all other species.
Oh yeah, we're crushing it. There's no doubt. Yeah, we're way better at it.
Yes, we've been able to build tools and such.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But so yeah, so I don't know. I mean, that's like whether or not it's sort of like I think like in the age of innovation, for example, it's sort of like, how can we create like more, you know, comfort for ourselves or like lessen the tasks that, you know, we are required to do at home that are like otherwise cumbersome or distract us from like our pursuits and stuff like that. It's like, mm-hmm. we've been able to like create a lot of those things. And then in doing that, it sort of like creates other problems. But then I would also say that I think that humanity like sees those other problems and then we're like, okay, let's go and try to fix those problems so that like we can continue to expand in this exact same way, but do it like responsibly,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that's the thing, is that like, I think, you know, every action has a reaction. And I think that we always see the reactions. Then we work to solve the reactions so that we can continue to create new actions.
Sure.
So that would be the belief.
Right. I mean, that all makes sense. Yes, I agree.
I'm so curious because like, as I'm like looking at you, I feel like I can like see your pulse rise and I can like, you almost seem like visibly like upset.
I'm certainly not like upset. I'm just like, it's like, I think when I feel like when I talk to people about this, it's like, what are we as humanity doing? It's like we, me and you in this room, like nothing, you know, like what are you doing to like, you know, I don't know. Like,
so I think that like maybe, I mean, if I'm understanding correctly, the question might be like on a very granular level, like each individual person,
right,
is probably not out there necessarily with this like active pursuit as the fundamental objective of their existence.
Right.
But I do think that like on the whole, like those, I mean, and so maybe it's the case that like, it's like someone somewhere will always like rise to the occasion, even if it's not every single person inside of every single society all doing that particular thing.
Right.
And so maybe what's happening is you know, you have pioneers in any one area who are attempting to go and do that and like then like lift the opportunities and abilities for all other people.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think that absolutely is true. I think you're right. Like people will, like if there's a problem, large groups of people will identify it and then like it will eventually get solved by people working on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like problems will like create opportunities for people to solve them.
Right. Right. Exactly. And I mean, I think that this is sort of like the underlying spirit of like every like superhero, you know, story that you've ever seen is that usually the underlying objective is to make it such that like people are allowed to continue to live like a happy, healthful existence.
Right.
You know, so it's like you go and you save the world, not necessarily because saving the world will like reduce all conflict to zero, but it allows that conflict to exist in a way that hopefully is moving all of us, all of society, all of humanity in a positive direction.
Sure.
You know, and that's the reason that it's worth preserving.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So I think we're on the same page.
I think so.
Maybe poorly communicated.
Okay.
We'll go with that. But otherwise, yeah. I mean, I don't know. That's something I'd be very curious about, to like lob out to the community to kind of get like their feedback. Like is this something like, you know, do you feel like there's any world where your faith in humanity could reflect back upon yourself? Because this was sort of like the thought that scrolled through, like I said, I mean, and I think it brought me some comfort, but then I also worried that it could bring some discomfort as well. So that's sort of where it's like, what's the feedback there? What are your thoughts?
Right.
So yeah, you can email me at popcornculturepod@gmail.com.
Yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, I don't know if there's, it's like, I don't know if they're necessarily related. It feels like they would be, that if you have like a positive outlook on things, like, then you would also have a positive outlook on yourself as well, or vice versa. Like if you have a positive outlook on yourself, like, would that also reflect like your view the other way?
Explain.
Like, do you think like if you have like a positive outlook on yourself, then you're more likely to have a positive view on humanity?
Well, so that's sort of like where I'd be coming from, is that like, I think that it is the perception of my own self that I struggle with more.
Right.
Like I struggle to know how to perceive myself. So I think that like what I'm using is the example of sort of like, look at the reflection out there in the world and see what's coming back to you. Mm. And if you feel good about what comes back, then maybe that's you projecting out into the world, letting it bounce off of everything. And then like when the signals come back to you, you can interpret what you're seeing.
Okay.
You know, which would be, you know, like, I don't know. That's how I would be looking at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's so interesting that you don't have like a good, that you don't feel like you have like a good perception of yourself then.
Yeah, no, I don't. Not at all. I mean, that's the challenge, is that like I think it's hard to know the perception of yourself. Like,
right.
because it is so like,
well, maybe perception is the wrong word. It's difficult to know how you're perceived by other people, right. But like, it's not necessarily hard to know how you perceive yourself.
That is what I do think is difficult.
Okay.
To know how to perceive myself.
Okay. Yeah.
And maybe that is more, again, you know, more specific to me. And my belief would be that more people also feel this way. Mm-hmm. But that's the exact sentiment that I'm working off of here. It's like, because I feel this way, I assume other people feel this way, but maybe that's also inaccurate.
Okay.
You know, like in the same way that maybe like your key objective is not like, I don't wake up every day thinking about like, oh, how am I going to make the world a better place today or something like that. And it's like, I don't think anybody feels that way. But like that could be you assuming other people also share your sentiment.
Right.
You know, and it's like, but that may not be the case.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think, yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily roll out of bed like, how am I going to make the world a better place today?
Right.
Necessarily. I'm like, you know, how am I going to continue to, you know, provide for my family and entertain our audiences and, you know, provide, you know, for our staff and stuff like that.
Right.
Is all important to me.
Yes. Yes. Those are important. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Very important objectives. Like, and you know, certainly as any individual's responsibility, it's probably the people whose lives you touch most directly who like that you'd be working on.
Right.
And that probably is where like the umbrella of your responsibility is relative to wherever you're at, you know, in some type of greater society. So like for a senator, it could be potentially greater because they're thinking about like all their constituents.
Right.
You know, so like they are needing to think about like the collective good, hopefully of everybody underneath their umbrella versus like, you know, you and I, who it's like our umbrella is maybe smaller.
Right. Well, but like, so to your point though, then it's like, it's in like what I'm saying is like, because I think like that, or because I know I think like that, that like I know I wake up and care about the people I'm responsible for.
Okay.
I assume everyone feels that way.
Yes.
Right. And because I feel that way, that is what makes me feel like humanity as a whole is a good thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. So
okay.
I'm not using my feeling of how everyone else is to inform myself. I'm using how I feel to inform how I feel about everyone else.
Okay. Okay. So I think it's you're doing the same thing, but basically in reverse.
Right.
But I think it probably means you have a greater sense of self than I do.
Sure.
Which would not wholly surprise me.
Yeah.
I think it's something that, and not that it says more about me than it says anything about you. I think it's something I just struggle with as an individual.
Sure.
So.
Okay.
That would be the question then, is like, is there relatability to this or is it just me?
Yeah.
Because in my mind, you know,
I suspect that there's relatability on both sides of it.
Yes. Yeah. Probably so. Yeah. So where do you land then is more like the outward in or the inward out.
Yeah.
So again, any feedback, popcornculturepod@gmail.com.
Yeah, there you go. Otherwise, thank you guys so much for listening to our lovely show today with me, your very regular host, Jazzy J.
Yeah, thanks again for having me. It was really cool to be here to sit in the chair and everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean,
yeah.
You always see it from afar. You never imagine you'll be sitting here. I mean, it's pretty cool. So
yeah.
Anyway, yeah, super, super appreciate it.
Yep. But otherwise, until next time, pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.